You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, it's been a fast and furious show. We crammed a lot of news into the first hour, a lot of commentary. Then in the second hour, not one, not two, not three, but four stellar guests, all of whom are TPC regulars and also all of whom were speakers at the Nationalist Solutions Conference. And there's one name we haven't mentioned tonight that should be named. That's Rick Tyler, the organizer of the conference. He saw it through, even though there were some turbulent waters there, and then over the course of the planning,
some headwinds.
Got it ramrodded through with the help of Rich and some other people, Michael Hill, and of course Eddie the Bombardier Miller. If Eddie is there,
no, he's this is Dr. Eddie from Memphrica.
Well, hey, we've had four doctors on, so well, this is in fact, as he is colloquially known, Dr. Pappy.
Yeah, who has a PhD in the School of Hard Knocks from the mean streets of Memphis.
That's right.
You got that right, but it has been a wild ride. You know, I'm telling you, I don't think when I've ever had more fun. We've been, in case the audience said no, we've been broadcasting pretty much all day long. We started at 8 o'clock in the morning. We've had some dynamite guests. I think the guy who stole the show today, the League of the South guys were off, which are unbelievable. But I've never seen people that were more eloquent. If they remind me, we're talking about what's his name, Payne. We're talking about, I'm so tired of Holly Talk. Anyway, the guy who said America was good because, you know, America was that, well, never mind. America was good because the people were good. But the guy who stole the show was this guy named Nick from Croatia. He was in the French Foreign Legion, the Canadian Army for 5 years. He fought, the guys fought all over the world, but he really stole the show. But I'll tell you what, and the League of the South guys just absolutely killed it. Of course, you know, we had Tom Sinek on, y'all just got through with him a few minutes ago. Simon Roche is out smoking a cigarette night right now. He's going to be back. Hey, guys, it's awfully good to be back. Make an appearance on the cesspool tonight, guys.
Oh, man, I gotta say it is. And I'm holding, as Keith is my witness, holding in my hand right now a handwritten postcard. It features Sean Connery as he looked in the movie Goldfinger when he was James Bond. But anyway, handwritten postcard from Canada. Listener Thornton writes that Eddie the Bombardier Miller has got to come back more often. I know Eddie has his own show now. But I always enjoy the camaraderie between you, Eddie, and Keith. And so Thornton's wish is my command. I actually just got that in the mail just last week. And as it turned out, it was already planned that Eddie would be back. Eddie's doing his own thing now with BRR.
Well, we won't tell Thornton that. We'll tell him that we're just responding to public
pressure. I think he
pressure.
Probably just heard you. But in any event, no, Eddie's been busy on his own projects. But it's great to have him back tonight. We're all still thick as thieves. And, of course, huge credit to Eddie for being our producer on the ground. He is the one that has been responsible tonight for bringing in all the guests.
Like he did in Charlottesville.
Like he did in Charlottesville, which was our best show ever. Probably our hands-down single best show ever in terms of quality and product. And
it wouldn't have been nothing without Eddie doing it there on the ground.
That's right. He's doing it again tonight.
Well, I think I found a new niche. You know, I spent very little time. We've been on the air pretty much all day. But I've spent very little time on the air myself. I've been producing, lining up witnesses. Let me tell you what, catching these people here. I mean, you know, Pappy gets irritated once in a while. I have a short fuse. I'm telling a couple of these people, hey, you're grown men. You know you're supposed to be on the radio. 6:15 means 6:15 and doesn't mean 8:15. You know, we've been hunting them down, man. But God bless them. They put up with me today.
Kicking ass and taking names.
I'm telling you,
who's that saying?
Kicked ass a little bit. But, you know, It's amazing how you can't get people to. Here's what drives you crazy. They'll come up to the table where we're interviewing. They'll say, "Oh, I'm up next." They'll say, "You 5 minutes max." Oh, well, I'm just going to go off. I said, "No, don't go." But they go anyway. And then you got to go hunt them down. You got to switch up guests and stuff. But I'm going to tell you what. I'll tell you something. Y'all might know how I'm kind of emotional. picking it up, Matt. You know, we picked up Matt yesterday, me and Lee, in Dixon, Tennessee. And God, it was so teary-eyed. I hadn't seen Matt in over a year, in person. And then when we got here and saw Simon, man, the dam just broke. I just cried like a baby. And
that's the thing about it. And I know your big thing has been about, you know, bringing everybody together, and you've been working on that behind the scenes. And just, you know, we are a brotherhood. At the end of the day, we're a brotherhood. And I just got to say one thing, Pappy, if you don't mind. We have a caller that's just called in. And I know you're going to be with us for the rest of the hour. It's going to be basically just the home team now. It's going to be me, you, Keith, Simon Roche, and Rich Hamblin, which is really a band of brothers here, pretty much all crew. There is a listener from Wisconsin, Dave, who is calling in. We want to work him in very quickly. We're going to go back to you, okay. Rich, Simon, et cetera. And again, Eddie, I want to thank you for making these last 2 hours go, because it wouldn't have gone anywhere without you being our man on the ground up there. But you know as well as I do, Eddie, that Keith is the tour guide du jour of the city of Memphis. Yeah. And the most recent person to enjoy one of Keith's treatments is our caller right now from Wisconsin. Take it away, my friend.
Well, thank you. I want to play something that's 29 seconds long here in appreciation for what Keith did for me over there. So here goes.
All right.
Actually, I can't do that.
I can't do that, I guess. But anyway, it was extraordinary. And in this particular clip I was going to play, it was Elvis saying, somebody asked me the other day what I miss about Memphis, and I said everything. So thanks to all of you at the Political Cesspool.
Well, thank you so much for that. I mean,
Well, look, the feeling's mutual. We it was great to get to know you better and to you know, hear your insights and hear all about life up in rural Wisconsin, buddy.
Yeah, pretty much occupied Wisconsin, but nevertheless, there's still a few of us that don't cave in to the tyranny. So, anyway, I won't keep you on the air here, because I know you have guests over there at that meeting. So, thank you very kindly. So long.
Well, so long, my friend. Godspeed, and take care of yourself.
And stay in touch. Stay in touch regularly and often. I guess that's saying the same thing twice. But we want to thank Dave for the call and for the sentiments. You know, a kind word and a note of appreciation for Keith for his tour around town. Now let's go back to Eddie. Eddie, what are you seeing there right now as you look as you survey the landscape there at the conference center?
I'll tell you what. First of all, the camaraderie has been second to none. It's really been emotional. There's so much brotherly love here. You have to be here to experience it. It's just electric in the air. Speaking of my brother Keith, I wish the hell he'd been here, because I had to suffer through one of, you know, my buddy Lee. If you've ever heard Lee, you've never heard anybody snore. If you've heard Lee snore,
you didn't share a room with Lee, did you?
No, hell no, but I wish I had.
He was down the hall, huh? He kept you up down the hall.
He blows the seat down. And then my other little kept popping in at 2:30.
Wait. We're missing a good story. Eddie, hang on. When you're on a cell phone, the music overplays you. We can kind of trump the music on our mic. But anyway, we got to take a quick break. Come back and tell us this story. We got to get Simon and Rich on, too. Good sense,
innocence. Between the parades, picnics, and fireworks from coast to coast, most of us are experts on how to celebrate Independence Day. This year, we invite you to join us at Liberty Hall in Far West Utah for a grand old 4th of July celebration that focuses on why we celebrate. From noon to 2 p.m., come and hear patriotic music by Radiant Productions. We'll be showing a screening of A More Perfect Union. Enjoy free hot dogs and popcorn. And hear Benjamin Franklin speak on the Declaration of Independence. Make it an Independence Day to remember, Thursday, July 4th, from noon to 2 p.m. at Liberty Hall, 3677 North, Highway 126 in Far West Utah. Sponsored by Loving Liberty. All proceeds benefit Follow the Flag.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
All right, so basically what we have this hour, we're just keeping it with the home team tonight. Me and Keith and Eddie and then Simon Roche and Rich Hamblin, who are basically all just part of the team here as far as we're concerned.
Band of brothers.
And
yes.
Talking about that brotherhood, Eddie, you know, one thing that brothers do, we fight together, we laugh together, and sometimes we engage in a little good-natured ribbing. And I think you were doing that right before the last break. So tell us about what was going on there with your team there, Lee and Matt.
Yeah, see, I thought it was getting better the deal because we farmed Lee out to another room, but then once put up that god awful story like we did at Wetumpka 2 years ago. But the young Mr. Matt comes in staggering in about 2:30, telling me how wonderful he felt, and then within 15 minutes I heard him say, "Oh, Bombardier, I don't feel so good." He's making a dash to the bathroom. That went on to about 5 o'clock in the morning. And so I was going to say what happened.
Well, you're a nurse, Eddie. You should have been able to take care of that.
Well, you know, I didn't have any drug. I didn't have any carbon monoxide or anything like that. Or I could have taken care of it real well.
ran out of suppositories.
Yeah, you're that right. But see, we're speaking about the camaraderie and the men, bridge building, the mending the fences, the breaking the hatches, burying the hatches, whatever. That was the theme, part of the theme of the meeting up here today. Rick Tyler was telling us about it. And it was just, that's what we're trying to do. But I sure missed Keith. I wish Keith had been here. And for one thing, I could have got a night's sleep and it would have been so much fun. We have another room tonight. Everybody should be sober tonight. But anyway, things should be growing. Let me tell you one more thing. The Antifa came out pretty good, but I want to tell you what, the police, you would not believe.
Yeah, fantastic.
How the police were. That's the positive part. The fact I told the story today with Sam's show, the positive part is they even came out with drug-sniffing dogs, bomb-sniffing dogs. They checked every car in the parking lot. They came in, checked us, checked the tables, checked everything. That's the positive.
I'm sure they checked you.
Oh, you better not.
What happened when they sniffed Lee?
They sure did. The negative.
All right.
We have to go through that. We have to go through that hell with a police state to have to exercise our First Amendment rights, the free speech. If people that I know, I've run out of steam, and I know y'all are tired of hearing me. It's great to be back. But listen, we have this guy who we built our show around. Simon Roach is coming on. We built this. We built the whole damn day today around Simon Roach, and he's coming on right next. He's going to be speaking next. But anything y'all want to tell me before I go?
Just that we love you, and let's just keep rotating it between you, Simon, and Rich the rest of the hour, and just see where it goes. You know, we certainly want to give them their say because they're such big parts of the event. But, let's just stick around. Let's see what happens.
Oh, one last thing. Now, you know, as you know, little Matthew's been studying Afrikaner, and he told me how to say the bearded wonder in Afrikaner. Speaking of the – I forgot how to say it. But speaking of the bearded wonder, he's sitting next to our brother Simon. And with that, I'm going to sign off and go to our brother Simon. And here he is.
All right.
Here's Simon. He's putting on the headphones even as we speak.
Good evening.
Hello, Simon. And I'll tell you what, if anyone sacrificed to be there, it was this man, Simon Roach, who is a worldwide, world-renowned and widely known around the world, spokesman for the civil defense group Saitlanders. I was on the elevator with Simon yesterday, last night, and he said, or whether it was this morning, I should say. I can't even keep the day straight. Simon said it was a 42-hour trip from the time he stepped out of his driveway to the time he landed in Nashville, 42 hours of nonstop travel just to be there to address this group. That is sacrifice. That is a man whose example we should be following. We salute you for that, Simon. That is not an easy trip. So tell us, did you find the event to be worth it? And tell us what you talked about.
Thanks very much, James. Yes, the event has been worth it. It's worth coming a long way. To participate in an event in which sincere people commit themselves to a worthwhile cause. And we are so very few in the world today who are willing to stand up for our culture, our religion, our history, our traditions, our people, our race, that you know that you're in good company. You know, it's heartwarming. It's heartwarming to be here.
And heartwarming to have you. And, of course, you are here as a representative of your people, perhaps your people's most preeminent representative, again, with the civil defense organization, Saitlanders. Tell us what your talk entailed.
James, I spoke about, I tried to structure the speech in such a way that people would be misled into believing that I was condemning blacks, black government, the ANC, you know, all of this kind of thing. So I took them down a little bit of a path to a point where I revealed that actually our chief enemy is not the black man. Our chief enemy is the people who are currently behind an assassination plot against our president, and they are rich white people. They are what we call the thorn bush. They are the deep state. They are the haters of God. They are the primary enemy of the white man in the world today is the white man who is selling out his fellow white man. And it's important sometimes for us to recognize when we, you know, blame the Guatemalans and the Hondurans and the blacks and the Mexicans and the Cubans and what have you, that it's always a white man who implements a policy to bring in the Cubans and the Cuban boat lift in the 80s and this and that and the other. And people need to get over this kind of antipathy, this hatred that they have for other races and cultures, and start recognizing that the traitor is in our midst. The one who hates us the most is amongst us. The others are merely a symptom. And let's face it, an inadvertent symptom. You know, you cannot blame people for being true to their instincts, their temperament, their DNA, their genetics. It's like me, you know, maybe shouting at my dog or kicking my dog because it refuses to meow like a cat. It's just plain dumb. Doesn't make any sense.
We have a saying, Simon, here at the cesspool, that in every left-wing movement, the foot soldiers might be black, brown, homosexual, whatever. But you know, the general, we know who the generals are. Is that who you're talking about, or is it another group?
No. Well, I mean, not to get onto the Jewish question, for us, it's not a, we, you know, Keith, you know me well enough to know that we avoid the Jewish question because we believe that it's a red herring. We believe that there's this fascination with the idea that Talmudic Judaism is responsible for everything. Now, I'm not disputing the evidence. The evidence is the evidence. But more to the point, you know, Hillary Clinton is not a Talmudic Jew. I'm not saying she's the archangel of the demise of the West. I am saying that there are enough wicked people in our midst that we don't
absolutely
have to fascinate ourselves. You know, we throw everything at the door of Talmudic Judaism. Yeah, the evidence is there. I'm not mentally retarded. I've read the Talmud with my own eyes. But it doesn't change. It doesn't change the fact that the wealthy businessmen based in Stellenbosch who are paying a certain group of people to execute an assassination attempt on our president, which we have been reliably informed is going to be blamed on the right wing. Those wealthy businessmen in Stellenbosch, none of them are Jewish. They're all Afrikaners.
Yeah, Simon, not to interrupt you, but I say this all the time. We are coming up on a break. I'd like to keep you on the flip side, and then we'll go to Rich and maybe back to Eddie. Let you go get some dinner if you haven't yet done so. But I say this all the time. If our people had the wherewithal to stand together as a collective with unique group interests, it wouldn't matter what other people were doing. Our people are the ones
yes
who have put us in this position.
Yes.
White men are
yes
the ones to blame. White men and white
yes
men really alone. We've allowed it.
Yes.
We got to take a break.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump plans to visit the heavily fortified demilitarized zone that separates North and South Korea. He extended an invitation on Twitter to North Korea's Kim Jong-un to join him. He arrived in Seoul with a warm welcome from South Korean President Moon Jae-in, but he's actually thinking about North Korea.
We're going to the DMZ. I said, while I'm there, I'll shake his hand. We get along.
Only hours earlier, the president tweeted a message to Kim, inviting him to meet him at the demilitarized zone. The president said he would even consider crossing over the line, something that no U.S. president has ever done.
Sure, I would. I'd feel very comfortable doing that. I would have no problem.
A North Korean official called the DMZ proposal a very interesting suggestion. But so far, Kim hasn't publicly said whether he'll meet with the president. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allen Root. Here are the three most important letters you'll ever need to know. Memorize them. VRA, VRA, VRA. And here's another three. KIP, KIP, KIP. KIP, KIP, KIP. Kip Herridge runs VRA. It's an investment newsletter, but not just any investment newsletter. It's the best in the country, in my opinion. I've known Kip for almost 20 years. He's like a brother to me. I'm witness to his remarkable success at picking stock winners. I give Kip the most highest endorsement and recommendation. Kip spent 32 years in the investment industry at the highest levels of Wall Street. Kip founded VRA in 2003 and has beat Wall Street for 15 out of those 16 years. And he didn't just beat Wall Street by a little bit. He beat Wall Street like a drum. Here's the big news. Only for my fans at USA Radio, Kip is offering a free two-week membership to VRA. Go there now. Your risk is zero. Go to VRAinsider.com and get your free two-week membership. That's VRAinsider.com. Try Kip out for 2 weeks for free, and you'll become a client for life. What are you waiting for? VRAinsider.com.
The Trump administration is announcing it wants to end the gainful employment rule that punished colleges that consistently left graduates with high student debt. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos promises instead to publish earnings data for all college programs on the department's College Scorecard website. Reaction has been swift after the 5-4 decision by the Supreme Court that a citizenship question won't be allowed on the upcoming 2020 census. John Clemens reports.
President Donald Trump has made a request to White House attorneys to determine if it would be possible to delay the census, no matter how long, until the Supreme Court receives additional information on the matter. Senator Lindsey Graham believes the question regarding legal citizenship should be on the census form.
I think a lot of people believe that how much money a state gets based on the number of people should be related to those here legally, not illegally.
For the USA Radio Network, I'm John Clemens.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, we ran into the wall of the commercial break, but we were on something important, and it's something that bears repeating, and we have talked about this before. Of course, anyone with eyes that see and ears that hear and a brain that functions properly understands the attributes and detriments of other races and ethnic groups. But with regards to the plight of our own people, with regards to what's right and wrong with our people, the buck stops with white men. And so whatever complaints you have about our lot in life, I think can be laid at the feet of traitors and sellouts. Simon, you were answering that before we had to go to the commercial.
Yeah, I understand Keith's point fully, but you know, it's a bit like the person, or we tend to be a bit like the person who says that the Jews control Hollywood, and then they let their kids watch movies down at the cinema at the mall, you know. It's just, it doesn't make any sense at all. It's not the Coen brothers. It's us. It's that we permit our children to engage with a culture that is specifically designed to destroy them. And then we blame somebody else.
Hey, Simon, Keith, have you ever read Wilmot Robertson?
No, I haven't. Is it worth
it? He was a guy from the 50s. He had a list of different types of white race traders: Grackites, Predators, Trucklers. James, I think, knows the whole group. I would recommend you look at that. That would be a really good primer for what you're talking about.
Well, in the meantime, Simon, I know you are travel weary, if any man can be, so we don't want to keep you for too much longer. But I do want to ask you, though, to take us to South Africa in the radio sense and tell us the latest going on over there, the happenings with our cousins in South Africa, your work with your organization, and anything you think the audience needs to hear.
Well, things are severe at the moment, James. I will give you guys two examples that kind of illustrate the frenzy of brutal attacks that is taking place at the moment. The one is about 5 weeks ago. A farmer was taking his daughter to school, and he got to the farm gate and got out of his pickup truck to open the gate, 15-year-old daughter. And he was accosted by four men, and they, to cut a long story short, raped his daughter in front of him. So that man is clearly useless for life. I mean, he will never recover his sanity. About a week later, on a farm in South Africa, assailants entered the farm, and again, to cut a long story short, raped the mother, about 40 years old, a woman, raped her four times, and then they went and got her daughter, and they were about to proceed to rape the daughter, about, I think she was 11 years old, perhaps a little bit younger. And the woman pleaded so ardently for her daughter's sake that they said to her, "All right, we'll compromise. We won't rape your daughter, but we will rape you again, and this time she must watch." So this is the kind of thing that's going on in the new South African Rainbow Nation utopia. It's now become very common for long-distance trucks, rigs, to be attacked on our freeways. And the latest police figures are that exactly 200 truck drivers have been killed in the past year when their rigs are attacked. You know, as they go under a bridge, they will drop a rock just precisely so that the front windscreen of the truck drives into the rock, and of course, you know, at that sort of speed, strikes the driver, and you know, if he's not killed, well, the truck will pull over to the side, and they can just come and plunder everything off the truck.
Sounds like Mad Max with Mel Gibson from back in the 70s.
Well, it's just tragic is what it is, and it's because that this is the horrific reality that white South Africaners face. That is why Simon is traveling 42 hours and doing it with a skip in his step and joy in his heart to try to raise awareness of the plight of his kinsmen. And that's why we love Simon and hail him as a hero and love being able to work with him and have him on this program to raise awareness to a wider audience. I mean, this is a man fighting for the very survival of his people, and he does it with such passion.
Well, somebody's got to do it, James, just like you do what you, you know, if we don't do it, who is going to do it? And it's really as simple as that. It's not remotely as heroic as you make it out to be. Somebody has to do it, James.
Well, none better that I know of than you, and we appreciate you coming on with us for a few minutes tonight. Tell us, as I've been asking everyone, for the benefit of the audience, and we know we'll be talking with you again soon, but what do you see right now? What's going on at the conference?
It's dinner time now at the conference. There's a nice mood that's prevailing. You know, this conference has had its challenges over the past couple of months, and it's good to see that things have worked out well. There's a convivial spirit. There's an esprit de corps, a camaraderie that is prevalent. And that's very, very nice. It's wonderful that everything's turned out so well.
It is. It is, and it was a little dicey there, and it really turned out, and this thing has been delivered, and it has been delivered in no small part to your efforts, your willingness to come on, and, of course, Rich and Rick Tyler and the others there that have been a part of this. Are you doing anything else? Last question. Are you going to be doing anything else while you're still here in the States? Are you flying right back home after this conference? Do you have any other meetings or dealings while you're here?
No, nothing else. But when I come out again later on this year, I will be meeting some worthy people in Washington. But on this occasion, I'll be flying out in 2 days' time and then going to Europe.
That is, again, folks, I mean, if you're well-rested, you won't appreciate it. But I can tell you, just having driven back and forth from Memphis, you know, this is pretty hardcore. 42 hours in the air and with layovers just to get here and then flying right back to Europe in 2 days' time. I mean, Simon, we salute you. We thank you.
Well, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to circumvent the mainstream media blackout of the news, the realities of the new South Africa. Thank you.
Well, you're most welcome. It's the least we can do. Give us the website so people can support your organization and help the whites in South Africa.
Thank you very much, James. It's much appreciated. Every cent that we receive goes to us fighting as hard as we can for our people worldwide, ultimately, and for our cause in South Africa. So we appreciate the donations. They are not taken for granted. The website is saidlunders.org. There's no www, it's just S-U-I-D, S-U-I-D, landers.org. Saidlunders.org, as easy as that.
And if anybody has any trouble with that, just email me. Simon, thanks again. Get some rest. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll talk to you again soon. We're going to go to a break here in just a second, and we'll get the bearded one. If Rich is still around, we'd like to talk to him close the show. And thanks again, Simon. We'll be back with you and with Rich in just a second. The music hasn't quite started yet, but I just wanted to take one last moment to remind everyone what you've been listening to the last 2 hours, as if you needed a reminder, but we'll do it. Anyway, the Nationalist Solutions Conference. It's a joint endeavor put on by the American Freedom Party and the Council of Conservative Citizens, a collaborative effort between those two organizations to put on this conference. This is the second annual conference. I was there last year. I was there this year. Last year as a speaker. This year we had some scheduling conflicts, so I didn't get up there in time to speak, but I did get up there in time to spend a few hours with everyone. We got in very, very, very late last night, just in time to go to bed. It was past midnight. Had a great time there today. Spent about half the day there, back to Memphis tonight, and it was just fantastic. The time I was there, it was well, well, well worth it, and it's just wonderful people. I don't think you could really stress it to a great enough extent, the caliber of people and the goodness in their hearts. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. I really do lament the amount of hatred that is in this world, and this isn't a joke or a punchline. There is far too much hatred in the world and far too much hatred directed at European peoples. Our people, our family, and you have a group of people who are fighting back with love in their hearts to preserve and protect what God has given us. And so many of them were at that conference this weekend, Keith.
Yeah, European-derived people. And see, the Anglosphere, the English footprint has gone far beyond the British Isles, Canada, United States, Australia, New Zealand, and also the former Rhodesia and South Africa. So you're one of the outposts, my friend.
We're going to come back, and Rich Hamblin is going to close the show. And what a show it's been. Fantastic. Stay tuned. One more segment to come.
Good night. God bless you.
And thank you, Simon. God bless you.
My brother and two other boys were the ones that got in the car with her, and she was drunk. The road that goes to her house is like really windy, and she was taking that road at 80 to 100 miles per hour, and when it hit into the road barrier, her door flung open. She ran out across the street to get away from it, and the other three boys were trapped in it, and the car exploded. And then when my mom found out about it, she called me at work. I don't care what you have to do, just get up here to the hospital. I parked my car and I went inside, and they took us back to this little room. My mom told me that Jay had been killed, and I lost it. The other people, they're like, well, you can drink, but just be careful when you drink, you know? So I don't want anything to do with it, because it took my brother away from me.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, it has been a fast show for us tonight. When you have this much action, this many different people coming on, all high quality, high caliber, with important things to say, it does tend to make the week's work go by a little more quickly. And I believe we'll be ending it right now with Rich Hamblin, our good friends behind the scenes. Rich plays a big role in the support of our work, the support of really a lot of organizations. He's a good man, a good friend. Really sets an example. He and his wife, Janice, have just really become
our fifth PhD on this.
We'll give him an honorary one anyway. But we use the word a lot. I don't want it to use it so much it becomes cliche. But, I mean, when we talk about audience members being family members, this is who we're talking about. I mean, this guy is the epitome of that and a prime example of what we're trying to convey. Are you there, Rich? I said all that good stuff about him, and he's not even there.
Are you sure that we're not having equipment failure again?
Well, Simon may have taken the phone back to South Africa. Well, we're going to call, you know, what's been going on here is Eddie has been producing the show for us from of course, the event for the last 2 hours on his cell phone. So it's very possible that his cell phone may have died. And if it died, I think we can probably get through the last segment.
You can call
amongst
Rich
ourselves.
Himself, right?
Yes, I guess we could. But we don't even have to, Keith, so don't worry about it because he is there. Now, Rich, when you listen to this show in the archives, I want you to go back and listen to the first couple of minutes of this segment, and you can hear all of the bad things we said about you.
Shameless pandering to you, so it'll be good for your soul to listen to it.
Shameless pandering.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I heard that part. I just want to make sure you had the right guy.
Oh, I see. That's why you weren't there. All right. Touche. Well, listen, we bring you on tonight in the capacity of not just, really a part of the behind-the-scenes crew, but as an observer of the event, as an attendee, not someone who gave a speech, but someone who was there to support and to really help guide the event in some ways. But what were your takeaways from the event? You've been to a lot of these. What were some of the topics that you felt were most important? That were put out there at the podium, and what were some things that perhaps should have been put out there that weren't?
Well, in general, I think the speeches were very good. There was a lot of problems getting things rolling last night because there was a tremendous accident on I-40, which had to shut down in both directions, and so it delayed some of the speakers getting here. Like Don Black didn't show up until after the evening session, and so things had to be juggled around a little bit. It took us about 2.5 hours to travel what should have been maybe an hour and 15-minute trip, and only because I was able to, we went to back roads. It was a nice route. I mean, we went a scenic route. I had to go up to Ashland City, basically, and cut back down to get to the park here. And Simon enjoyed the ride, and it was as pleasant that way. But I'm sure it created havoc with getting your schedule off and going. Simon's speech was very good today. All the speeches were good. Tom Stunick's speech, Earl Holt, he gave a very good speech, Kevin McDonald. I mean, all of them were very good, in my opinion.
Yes, you mentioned Don Black. That's one that we haven't said yet. I mean, Don is just another. He's another one of those guys. He and his wife Chloe, great personal friends. Always good to see Don, and he came in there and really delivered. He gave a shorter presentation, but it was power-packed and very passionate, and it's just so good to see him that once you turn him loose, all of that vigor comes back, and that's just another guy that's just a true lion for all intents and purposes. So it's great to see Don up there today. I wish we could have had him on the show tonight. That is a total mind blip on my part. But let's talk about the behind-the-scenes stuff. So if you come to these things, you know you're going to hear speakers. You know you're going to eat, and you know you're going to see some people. But that doesn't nearly paint the full picture. I mean, you were talking about going out on the porch till 1 a.m. We're talking about true, hearty fellowship, and I know you engaged in a little bit of that last night. As a matter of fact, when my wife and I checked into our room, little did we know at the time, we were right next door to Rich and Janice. Now, we got in after midnight, and these people were out on the porch, you know, nearly 1 o'clock. I said, man, it must be that kind of event. These guys are party animals. But I didn't know it was Rich and Jan at the time. So tell the folks what they missed in that capacity, Rich.
Yeah, well, and your wife wanted to come out, but she said, no. So I guess, you know, hey, whatever.
Well, if I'd have known it was y'all, we would have been out there. God knows. I just, you know.
Well, she did want to go out and see who it was. So, but we were there on the ground level. I think we were the only two
in the hotel they were down there. The guards were right outside our door and all this kind of stuff. Today we did have a little, we got filmed by Antifa, Simon and I did, on Ford Fisher's live stream. During one of the breaks, we came down and walked out on there to observe the great unwashed mass, which was across a little boat. They were across away from us. Probably about 45 or 50 of them, I think. But they had they had the way blocked in where they couldn't get down into the parking lot. And they were all ticked off about that. But they did call Simon a fat overstuffed sausage.
A fat overstuffed sausage. Well, you know, I don't know if I can believe you, Rich, because I didn't hear any profanities in that, and I've never heard them really go two or three words without cursing. But we'll take your word for it.
They did that too. If you go to the live stream, that's up on Fisher's Facebook live stream page. Yeah, you'll hear them cuss us out big time.
Okay, well now it's certainly more believable. That's actually one aspect of the whole thing we haven't talked about tonight. At least, perhaps it was mentioned in passing. But the opposition. How would you size up the opposition, based upon what you saw?
It was it's the usual crew. They didn't really hang around. I think they were all gone by about 4 o'clock. So they didn't really stick around. They started maybe 10:30 is what I read on some of the posts. But they didn't. The park did more security, I guess, with less people this year than at previous events where I've been here, and they've had, the place has been crawling with all kinds of agents and whatever. But they blocked the road up near the turnoff to the end, so if you weren't on the list, you didn't get through. So they weren't even able to get up there in the grassy area above the lodge and. In the pen that they had set up for them last year, they didn't have it this year. As close as they could get was over to where the boat ramp was, where the just right across from a little inlet.
Oh yeah, and it was hot today, 95 degrees, and they couldn't even get within shouting distance of the facility, so they were basically just shouting to the water, and no one was even there to see them. I didn't even know they were there until I left, and or as we were having lunch.
Should have thrown them a bar of soap. They could have used that lake to good advantage and wash up.
Yeah, we couldn't see him. We couldn't see him, but we could smell him.
He was following his nose out there to the anyway. Is Bombardier Eddie still around? I'd like to thank him one more time for helping us out here these last 2 hours. But if he's not, that's
let me walk down here. David Duke's getting ready to start the speech. I think at the banquet. It's probably about.
He hasn't started yet. He was supposed to start an hour and a half ago. What's going on?
No, everything's running behind. I mean, it's just waiting.
Yeah. Is Eddie warming up the crowd?
No, he's standing right here. Let me...
Hey, Rich, so good seeing you. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, good talking to you, James. Here's Eddie.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, fella.
Hey, buddy, we just wanted to circle back to you one last time to thank you again for making these last 2 hours go. Everybody that we wanted to have on, or at least, well, not everybody. We wanted to have Don on, but I forgot to put him on the list I gave you. But great people. You had everything running like a top. And I also want to say, Eddie looked like a true dandy today. He was in his Sunday's best, and he was there to work.
I'll tell you what, we worked like that. We worked like Hebrew slaves today. And me and Matt and Lee, we worked all day chasing these people down. It's amazing how it's like they herd cats. You know, you figure if you tell somebody to be somewhere at 8:15, they'd be there at 8:15, et cetera. But you still got to herd them down. But it was so satisfying to do all this. I loved it so much. I said, this is my niche, doing this producing and stuff. And I just really loved it.
You've literally done 6 hours of radio today. 6 hours of radio on three different programs.
Yes, sir. I tell you what, it was just
getting started.
I'm telling you, yeah. We thought about trying to do, I think somebody said there's a repeat in the morning, like from 8 to 9 or 7 to 8 on Liberty News, and Matt and Lee wanting us to, instead of doing like a rerun, I said, Ma, I think I've had enough for one day for a while, man. Let it rest. I don't think Sam wants to do that anyway.
I thank you so much for having me on tonight, both of you guys. I miss both of you guys. I love
Hey,
you.
Well, hey, listen, you know how I feel. I mean, this is always your show, too, no matter what. And so, you know, it's always wide open for a man who's been a part of this for, 12 or 13 out of our 15 years on the air now. So, you know, you don't ever need an invitation. You're still part of the team as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I certainly appreciate that.
Hey. Enjoy the rest of the night and drive safe home, and we'll see you on Monday
we'll
for dinner.
We'll do. God bless you. God bless you and Keith. Good night now.
Thank you, buddy. Keith, appreciate it. Good work as always. For the rest of all of our guests, our crew, I'm James Edwards. Good night.
Good night.